And arising from the Too Hard Basket to impart their wisdom are this week's basketeers, librarian and comedian Monica Dullard and ethical counselor from the Ethics Center, Simon Kennedy Jewell. You can text us or leave us a post on the Radio National Facebook page. Hello, team.
Hello.
G'day.
You ready?
Yes, ready.
Okay, this is a big one. Layla has come to us for help over a pair of jeans. And Layla writes, I found a great pair of flared designer jeans in an op shop. They were too long, so I took them to my local alterations place to have them altered and the flare taken in a bit. The young girl who served me was the daughter of the seamstress. She took measurements, but seemed a bit uncertain while doing it. After calling her mom, I was quoted $55 for the job to take up and take in the legs. It cost more than the jeans. So I said I'd think about it and would let them know, but left the jeans at the shop. Dramatic pause. When I went back a week later, the jeans had already been cut and made into a straight leg. Not at all what I asked for, and I didn't give the go-ahead. What do I do? Do I just leave them there? Layla wants to know if she's obliged to pay despite the alteration being botched, and notes, this business is also a laundromat where I go to dry my clothes. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I feel so clenched thinking about this entire situation. Monica, has this ever happened to you, a botched alteration?
Well, funnily enough, Beverly, years ago I bought a Saba suit so I needed to take the leg up just a little bit, and then I could let the hem down again, just hem them, so then I could let them down if the fashion's changed, that sort of thing. So I left them at the tailor, picked them up later that day, and both legs had been chopped off pretty much up to around my calves.
Paddle pushers, clam diggers, yeah. Nice.
Clot, whatever. And the sewn out bits of the suit were just so chucked away, but I would have probably tried to sew them myself, although I'm not a sewer at all. And look, it did make my eyes water a bit, because, you know, it does take a comedian about 8 years to save up for a suit.
Yeah.
So I can feel for Layla. I do feel for Layla that possibly could have been Staggers jeans. I mean, imagine chopping them up and making them straight leg.
Well, yes, there's a bit of a cringe when you hear about what happened. But Monica and Simon, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I really, at that moment where Layla says she left them at the shop.
Oh, critical mistake.
Yeah.
Critical mistake. Leaving them at the shop and then not coming back for a week as well. Two critical mistakes right there. So I don't think you can blame the shop for that. They must have thought, you know, okay, let's go for it.
What's your read of the situation, Simon?
Well, I think, I think that issue of how much $55 means for Layla is important in the dynamics of this. You know, I mean, we don't know about her situation. Does $55 represent, you know, a meal not on the table or whatever? But I think on the whole, I think for me, a big question is intention. Because I think, you know, no one likes being in a situation where you don't get what you pay for. But certainly for me, and I think I'm not alone here, is it's a different sense if there's a sense that that may have been part of some deliberate attempt to take advantage versus an innocent mistake. And I think on the evidence here, you'd have to, you know, suspect that there may have been an innocent mistake rather than a specific intention. And that definitely makes a difference for me in the way I would handle it.
Would you have left the jeans at the shop, Simon? What would you have done if you walked in and you see it's a child who's minding the shop while mom's, you know, out busy or something? It's clearly a family-run business. You see a child, you've got this complicated job, she clearly doesn't understand. Do you leave the jeans there while you think about it?
Look, I imagine that wasn't necessarily a thought-through decision for Layla. I think it's possibly one of those things she was probably in shock. Or maybe just at the cost of, you know, and maybe just wasn't sort of thinking sort of straight and just thought, but look, I don't think that isn't the important point to me. There is that the mistake, that there's a kind of co-responsibility for the mistake, you know, that assuming, you know, that it was a mistake here, that in leaving the jeans there, I think she has contributed to this outcome and therefore maybe, again, for me, that on balance would sort of suggest, I'd probably just go ahead and treated as a sunk cost, as they say, you know, and also an investment in the relationship, because she does mention that she uses this business in an ongoing way for her drying. And I imagine it would be very awkward sitting there every Sunday morning watching her clothing go around and round and trying not to make eye contact with this family, you know, the members of this family business, knowing that she didn't pay for that work that was done. Or try to drive to the next suburb to find another laundromat to use.
Well, she's just got to move house. Clearly, the only solution is to just entirely move. I'm just joking. I can really sympathize to what you said about she's just made a mistake, because that all happens to us, doesn't it? We just go in to do a simple job. Something happens. Our brain just kind of explodes a little bit. Ah, we panic and we say something that we don't mean to, and we leave the shop. I do sympathize with Layla for kind of having that moment of not being sure what would happen. But Monica, considering that the alteration went ahead without her explicit consent, do you think that she still needs to pay for the job?
Yeah, look, I'm not an ombudsman, but I think, you know, like you could say you're not obliged to pay for something you didn't agree to. But I also think that I agree with Simon. It's really, he's made some great points about that relationship with the family and with the business. And you still want to dry your clothes there. I mean, you might be walking another 2 miles to get to the next one. But I think that the way for her to look at it is to look at the industry as a whole. And it's, you know, where would we be without people who can sew? Like, you know, pretty much most people on this earth do not know how to sew. And we need stuff done, alterations, drafting a pattern, making a stunning frock or, you know, a suave suit for a bloke. It's such an important part of our sort of fabric of life, of saying I can get something in the op shop and I can get it altered and I've saved myself, you know, hundreds of dollars. So I really think we need to shout out to the industry and say, we love you, you're doing a great job, but, you know, obviously the young girl had lots of scissors in the air in the shop and just thought, oh, look, I'll give it a crack.
Listen, I have to say, getting flare jeans shortened is also a very tricky proposition, because you can't, once you shorten from the bottom and that's where the flare is, what's going to happen to the flare?
The flare's gone, isn't it? So, you know, like, so, yeah, that's another good point, Beverly. She shouldn't be chopping up flares.
Can you shorten them from the top? I mean,
you can shorten it from the waist, apparently. I'm not the expert, but you can shorten from the waist and leave the legs as they are, because otherwise sometimes you get one leg shorter than the other if you just do them from
another
the
dilemma
bottom.
For us to tackle, perhaps, in another week.
We need a designer on the panel.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Yeah. We need to expand the basketeers and get a designer in there. Simon, we've been joking about this, but the idea of, I guess, leaving the jeans in the shop knowing that they're there, going mm-hmm. into the shop week after week to do something else, it's a little bit like an albatross, or a little bit like, you know, the beating heart under the floorboards. It's the thing that cannot be named. I mean, is it possible even to contemplate that as an option, to not pay for the one thing, but then to continue to pay for the other service? It's really tricky.
Oh, look, personally, no, I can't imagine at all being able to doing that. But, you know, as Monica said, and I'm not an expert, I think from any, you know, from some sort of legal perspective, is Layla obliged to pay? I don't know, but I suspect she possibly wouldn't have that obligation. But to me, the obligation comes from community and connection and relationship. You know, this is as Monica was saying, I think as an industry, it tends to be dominated by these micro family businesses. And they, you know, that relationship, not only with the, you know, them as people that can help, you know, with the alterations, but also as the, you know, laundromat, these are important little community engagements. And for me, $55 seems an amount that's worth paying, even if it's just so that she builds and maintains just that little bit of sense of community around her, and that, you know, this as a convenient local business remains part of her network.
kind of a goodwill levy, as if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've got a few suggestions coming in on the Radio National Facebook page. Michelle says, if you can afford it, pay the charge regardless, but politely mention to both that you think there has been a misunderstanding, but in good faith, you value a small local business. The young employee might have been nervous, anxious to be left in charge of an important task. Well, yes, a child, in fact, it sounds like the daughter. And Julia says, their genes. Explain your disappointment, pay the bill, and move on. Hopefully, they still fit. So there's a space in between that these Radio National listeners are suggesting that you can pay, but also have a conversation. Monica, would you suggest anything similar?
Yeah, I think so. I think I really think pay for them. Then if it's too, you know, because she really did, you know, made some critical mistakes herself by leaving them there and not, you know, even ringing up and speaking to the owner personally about what she wanted. Flared jeans, she should never touch them anyway.
Oh, goodness.
And take them back to the op shop and then someone else will say, oh, my God, these are lovely, you know, and pass them on.
Pour one out for the poor flared jeans. Monica Dullard, librarian and comedian, ethical counselor for the Ethics Center, Simon Kennedy Jewell. A delight as always. Thank you for talking us through this. Oh, I'm sweating, the dilemma of the flared jeans.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.